Our gospel reading comes from Matthew chapter 28, starting with verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age." We give God thanks for his word. I invite you to be seated. As we transition to the message, I invite you to open your prayer and action guide and pull out the yellow sheet that says sermon notes and response card. This is meant to be a two-way communication tool. Hopefully you hear helpful scriptures and ideas in the message. There's a spot to jot those down. And then at the end, I'd love to hear what God is saying to you so we can pray for you and support you on the journey. And I invite you to join me in prayer now. God, we come here this morning from all sorts of different places, with all sorts of different things on our minds and on our hearts. And so we ask you to do what only you can do. Reach us where we're at. Transform us by your grace, so that no one leaves this place the same as we came in. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Well, in our first incredibly difficult reading, we heard about the massive project led by Nehemiah to rebuild the ancient walls of Jerusalem. I don't have personal experience with building walls. I do, however, have some experience building Legos. Any Lego builders out there? Both of my kids enjoy building with Legos. Legos are way more complex today than they were when I was growing up. I remember having much bigger Legos and building much simpler things. Now my kids are asking for these elaborate Star Wars sets that have all these tiny, intricate pieces. When you look at that massive pile of pieces, the task can seem rather overwhelming and daunting. Along the way, my family has learned three principles that have helped us with these building projects. First, it really helps to have the right instructions. We've tried building without the instructions, and it usually ends up in a big mess. Second, it really helps to have all the right pieces. Without the right pieces, you can't complete the work. And then third, it really helps to work together. On your own, a project like that can be really difficult and time-consuming. But when we work together, we can do more together. Those same three principles helped Nehemiah and his people rebuild the ancient city walls in only 52 days. Nehemiah's story is relevant for today because we all encounter brokenness. Brokenness in our lives, in our relationships, in our families, in our communities, in our world. I think deep down we all want to do something about it, but the task can seem so overwhelming and daunting. Thankfully, there's good news. The good news Nehemiah discovered is best summed up in Ephesians 3, verse 20. Would you say this verse with me? God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us. As we go through this story, man, I pray that you're able to claim this good news. Before we can fully understand Nehemiah's story, it helps to back up and review the larger story of God's people. God created human beings so that we could be in a loving relationship with God and others. Even though God designed us and knows how we're to best function, people disobeyed God's instructions, and it caused a big mess. We acted in ways that hurt others, hurt God, hurt ourselves. And our sinful actions separated us from our perfect God and brought evil, suffering, and death into God's good world. Now, God could have scrapped the whole Lego set, but God didn't. Out of love and mercy, God launched a plan to rebuild what was broken by our sin. And part of the plan involved building a brand new nation called Israel. Israel was to live according to God's instructions and to help other people come back to God. Sadly, the sinful pattern repeated. Israel disobeyed God's instructions, and it caused a big mess. Their sin led to corruption, injustice, and eventually the fall of their nation. In 586 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon attacked the capital city of Jerusalem and broke down its walls. Many of the Israelites, including Nehemiah's ancestors, were taken captive and forced to live as exiles in Babylon. Again, God could have scrapped the whole Lego set. Instead, God began rebuilding the nation of Israel. In 539 BC, Cyrus, king of Persia, gained control of the area, and he allowed the Jewish exiles to return to their homeland. Zerubbabel led the first wave of exiles to return in 538. About 50,000 Israelites made a 1,000-mile journey back to their homeland. In 458 BC, a man named Ezra, he was a priest, led the second wave of people back. This group rebuilt the temple in Jerusalem. Next on their list was to rebuild the walls. Walls were a big deal for ancient cities. They provided protection against enemy armies that would raid. They also provided the security necessary for them to have economic commerce. So they started to rebuild, but their efforts were thwarted. Adversaries of Israel wrote letters of opposition to the Persian king Xerxes and later to his son Artaxerxes. And finally, Artaxerxes made a decree that said, Israel, you have to stop rebuilding. This is where Nehemiah enters the picture. Nehemiah was the cupbearer for King Artaxerxes. As a cupbearer, Nehemiah had the responsibility of testing and tasting every food and drink given to the king to make sure that it wasn't poisoned. To have a position like that meant that you had to have the complete trust of the king, which made Nehemiah uniquely positioned to affect change. You might not think about it like this, but every single one of us is uniquely positioned to affect change. God has uniquely placed you in your family, in your neighborhood, in your community, in your workplace, in your church, so that you can affect change in this world. And if we're open to it, God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power at work in us. Nehemiah was open. In 445 BC, Nehemiah learned that the city walls of Jerusalem were still broken down and the people were struggling. His response is a bit surprising. Nehemiah sits down and weeps. Keep in mind, Nehemiah has never lived in Jerusalem. Probably has never even been there. The problem was thousands of miles away. And yet his heart was broken by the brokenness of others. Maybe you've had a surprising reaction like that at some point in your life. Maybe you heard or saw some brokenness in our world, and it absolutely just broke your heart. Maybe in ways that even surprised you. Pay attention to that feeling. Be open to it, because it might be God's way of saying, I care about that too. And I want you to do something about it. On this Mother's Day, I think about a young mom who modeled this kind of openness. She has young kids that she needs to take care of. And yet her heart was broken over the plight of kids thousands of miles away. When she first learned about the extreme conditions of poverty facing the children that our church serves in Guatemala, it broke her heart. And she sensed God saying, I care about this too, and I want you to do something about it. This young mom organized a huge collection of school supplies to assist the educational initiatives that our church supports in Guatemala. On her Facebook page, she wrote, to be able to say I was going to do this and execute this mission flawlessly and successfully is only by the grace of God. I was able to do something bigger than myself. Nehemiah knew that he too would need God's gracious help if he were to succeed in rebuilding. So the first thing Nehemiah does is he turns to God in prayer. This is a key theme of Nehemiah. Over and over, we see Nehemiah turn to God in prayer throughout the story. And he prays different prayers. He prays for strength, guidance, provision, favor. But in this first prayer, he prays a prayer of confession. He confesses to God that the people of Israel, including himself, had disobeyed God's instructions and were dealing with the mess of sin. Nehemiah recommitted his life to following God's good instructions. And he claimed one of the promises in God's word. God promised that no matter what you've done, no matter where you end up, you can always turn back to God for help. So that's where he starts. He turns to God in prayer. And God begins to put the right pieces together for rebuilding. One important piece was Nehemiah himself. He was uniquely positioned to have an audience with the very king who stopped the rebuilding. Nehemiah was able to share his heartache and ask the king for help. By the gracious help of God, the king not only gave him permission to go, but also assured that Nehemiah had the protection and the provision to begin rebuilding. God also gave Nehemiah the gift of leadership. As a gifted leader, Nehemiah was able to research, plan, communicate, inspire, recruit, equip, empower, and manage the work of building. The church needs strong leaders. The more leaders we have, the more we can do together. What made Nehemiah such a great leader is that he recognized he wasn't the only piece in the Lego set. He realized that God had gifted many others for the work of God. And he saw part of his role as helping everybody work together. His plan was brilliant. Nehemiah included everybody, young, old, rich, poor, men, women, all professions. And he assigned every family and every people group to work on the section of the wall nearest their home or place of business. This heightened the motivation to complete the wall quickly. But it also reinforced the significant part each person played in the bigger mission. You see, no one would be safe until everybody did their part. Unfortunately, some people refused to help. In our reading, we heard about the leaders of Tekoa who refused to help. And because they wouldn't help, it put a strain on the rest of the people who had to pick up the slack. The people of Tekoa ended up doing double the work just to compensate. We don't know why they refused to help. Maybe they thought they were too busy or too important to participate in the work. I was asked to lead a prayer for a police graduation this past week. The graduates were preparing for higher positions of leadership in their department. At one point in the ceremony, the instructor addressed all of the graduates and said, "No matter how high you rise, don't ever think you're too important to lay flares in the road for traffic or to bring a cup of coffee to the person working dispatch." This instructor's words align well with God's instruction in the scripture to be servant leaders. God invites us to be the kind of leaders in our family, in our workplace, in our community, in our world, who are willing to humbly serve others for the sake of the common good. Nehemiah was a servant leader. While he led the rebuilding, he also worked right alongside everybody else. The people of Israel discovered it really does help to work together. We're stronger together. When enemies threatened to attack, the people of Israel were able to defend each other. Nehemiah divided them into two groups, and they alternated working and standing guard with weapons. Nehemiah said, fight for your friends, fight for your families, fight for your homes. Anytime we step out to do something for God, we better expect to face opposition from people and spiritual attack from Satan. And that's why we need a strong community around us, people who can listen to us, pray for us, encourage us, support us, help us fight for the things that really matter. One way to build that kind of community is participating in things like small groups or Christ Renews His Parish Retreat. In addition to being stronger together, we can do more together. Together, the people of Israel were able to finish a project that could have taken 2 years in less than 2 months. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to His power at work in us. This good news is as true today as it was in Nehemiah's time. Recently, Good Shepherd partnered with Rebuilding Together Aurora to work on two homes in our area. The primary home belongs to a 55-year-old disabled man named Carl and his teenage son, Michael. Carl has been unable physically and financially to keep up with the repairs on his home. And Good Shepherd was able to help Carl and Michael complete repairs to the kitchen, plumbing, ceilings, doors, windows, exterior, and yard. Carl and his son now have a healthier environment to live in, which is so important for a growing boy and a man who requires dialysis 2 times a week. The repairs made to their house make their home safer against intruders, both people and animals. And thanks to the repairs that they did on the plumbing, Carl and Michael were able to take a warm shower for the first time in 2 years. And Carl and Michael got to see what it looks like when a group of servant-hearted leaders come together to help someone in need. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to His power at work in us. Nehemiah didn't stop with the walls. He challenged corrupt and unjust systems. Nehemiah confronted wealthy Israelites who were charging high interest on loans that they gave to people in need. When he became governor, he didn't use his benefits to serve himself. Rather, he used his privileges to make sure all people had food and basic necessities. God calls us to be change agents amidst corrupt and unjust systems. Just this morning, one of our staff members were telling how she participated in the Lutheran Day of Advocacy, where people in the Lutheran Church gather together to affect policies that impact those who are struggling. This summer, I'm going to be traveling with a mission team to Honduras. Our mission partners in El Ayudante discovered that there were a lot of couples who were not married that were living together in their community. And these couples didn't feel comfortable worshiping in church or serving in church because they weren't married. When they dug a little bit deeper, they found out that the reason the couples weren't getting married is because they couldn't afford the incredibly expensive marriage license in their country. Nor could they afford the extravagant after-wedding party that's expected in their culture. So now El Ayudante is offering marriage courses for these couples, helping pay for their licenses, and hosting their wedding and party so these couples can get married. On the screen are 5 of the couples that we're going to help marry this summer. And I'm so excited to think about how God is using this to change systems and marriages, churches, communities, and generations to come. The greatest of Nehemiah's reforms was spiritual. Nehemiah knew how important it is to have the right instructions guiding our life. So he gathered all of Israel together and he asked the priest Ezra to read to them from God's word. The reading and teaching lasted 7 days and ended with a worship service on the 8th day. I just want you to remember that anytime you think that the readings or the sermons are too long at Good Shepherd. I just want to point that out. But what I found the most touching is that after all of that, the leaders of families went to Ezra and asked for his help to do a deeper dive into God's word. Wow. They wanted to rebuild their families on the solid foundation of God's word. It's powerful what God can do when we build or rebuild on the foundation of his word. Our marriage ministry is hosting marriage courses on Wednesday evenings. One of our team members invited a couple that he never thought would actually come. Their marriage is falling apart, was headed towards divorce, but they came. And the very next day, this couple took the day off of work, both of them, so they could go see a counselor and begin working on their marriage. It's powerful. One of the reasons my wife and I helped start the marriage ministry is because we've experienced God's power to heal our own broken marriage. And so now we're striving to keep building on the foundation of God's word. Some of the things we do, we pick books of the Bible to read together and reflect on how it applies to our life and what we can do in response. At the dinner table, we select scripture verses that we can memorize as a family with our kids. And it's been so powerful to see how God's using these simple practices to transform our lives, strengthen our relationships, and give our family a bigger mission. Well, Nehemiah, he spent 12 years in Jerusalem before returning to his former employment with King Artaxerxes. And a while later, Nehemiah visited Jerusalem, only to find the sinful pattern had repeated. The people once again were disobeying God's instructions. They were working on the day that God asked them to rest. They were not giving their offerings back to God. They were using rooms in the temple to lodge adversaries. They were entering into marriages with people that didn't worship the one true God. It must have been so discouraging for Nehemiah to see other people not maintain a high level of spiritual commitment. But Nehemiah shows us that no matter what other people around you are doing, God can help us to live for him and to have a positive influence in the lives of other people. So once again, Nehemiah begins to purge sin from the land and reunite his people in following God's instructions. Sadly, the sinful pattern continued after Nehemiah. And God could have just scrapped the whole Lego set, but he didn't. It was through this imperfect nation that God would send his one and only son, Jesus, to rebuild what our sin had broken. Jesus paid the punishment for our wrongs on the cross so that we could be forgiven of sin and brought back into a right relationship with God. Jesus died and he rose again so that we could have the hope of a new life here on earth and eternal life in heaven through the power of his Holy Spirit. And in our gospel reading, we heard Jesus give his great commission, how he called all of his followers to be part of his global mission to seek and save all people everywhere. And I have to think this must have seemed an overwhelming and daunting task for those 11 disciples. It still does today. Yet we have to remember the good news. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power at work in us. We are here today, centuries later, thousands of miles away, because of what God was able to do through those 11 disciples. Imagine what God can do through all of us. We have opportunities through our ministries to reach and transform children, students, young adults, adults, seniors, couples, special needs families, those dealing with mental health concerns, and more. Through our giving and missions, we have an opportunity to affect change right here locally, nationally, globally, with big issues like poverty, hunger, sickness, education, disaster, homelessness, addiction, abuse, and more. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power at work in us. And just as my family learned with Legos and Nehemiah learned with the wall, it really helps to have the right instructions and the right pieces and to all work together. So as we close, I invite you to reflect on three questions. First, how are you doing following God's instructions? Are you reading God's word daily and applying it in your life? Or are you trying to live life on your own and dealing with the consequences of sin? Maybe today is a day for you to return and recommit. Second, what pieces has God given you? The Bible tells us that God gives each and every one of us gifts that can be used for his purposes. So what pieces has God given you? What time, money, abilities, passions, positions has God placed in your hands to uniquely affect change? And third, how can you work together? How can you give? How can you serve? Who can you partner with to make a difference in this world? The bottom of your sermon notes is a response card, and I invite you to prayerfully consider how you can respond to the scripture and the message for today. If you put your name and email, I promise I'll pray for you and write to you. Check the boxes that apply, fill out your response, and then you can put in the offering basket with your offering. I'm going to give you some time with God and then close us in prayer. I pray if there's anybody here today who's never before trusted in Jesus as their Savior, that they would make today their day to do that, to receive your free gifts of forgiveness, salvation, eternal life in your Holy Spirit. And God, we ask that you would help us to follow your instructions, to use the pieces you've given us, and to work together so Good Shepherd will always be a church that will reach and transform spiritually distracted people so we all love and serve you. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.